That could be louder, Tim. We all know it could go louder. You're purposely keeping that quiet. I see what you did. Let's be honest. That's quite a sermon intro right there, right? Pretty good stuff. We call that a transition in the business. I'm just kidding. We don't call it anything. We call that psycho. Rusty sent me this clip earlier this week when we were talking about river worship songs. And he's like, all I can think of is this one. So I thought it would help him transitioning the band off. Did that help? Nah, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to do it. Because you can take the VBS out of the week, but you can't take the VBS out of the boy. You know what I mean? And we have a bowl staring at me the whole worship time that we missed. And you might find some chunks of corn or confetti. I don't know what's around you. But we are trying to be adults today. Hello. Instead of goofball kids. Moderate version of that. All right. Sorry. Okay. Anyways, moving on. It was my attempt at some fun this morning, but you've already heard a better sermon from Jamie than the one I'm going to deliver, so kind of off, the pressure's off right now, right? So this morning, though, we do want to talk a little bit about this idea of river, and I thought this would be a great space to use this video, because right about now, that coffee's starting to kick in, and you can listen to the running water, and what did I just say? You can't take the VBS out of the guy. I don't know what to say. Hey, last week we talked a little bit about this idea that Jesus says to the woman at the well that whoever drinks from this water that he gives will get to experience this never-ending supply of thirst-quenching, eternal, life-giving water, right? That Jesus is the living water. And Scripture is packed full of these references and these pictures of water and river and well. Listen to John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them, quenching their spiritual thirst, their eternal thirst, sustaining them, bringing them life. Right? You can go like, what is it, 43 days without food, but only like 3 days before the human body dies without water. Cool reminder of how important Jesus is to us. Our eternal life, I might challenge you that you can go 43 days without food, but without the spiritual nourishment of the Word of God and the Spirit in your life, after 3 days, does your spirit start to dry up a little bit? That's an interesting thought. Get in your Bible. You know what I'm saying? Okay. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. For I will pour, Isaiah says, I will pour on a thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendant. My blessing on your descendant. This imagery of water is such a powerful one in Scripture, and it's used so much. In fact, do you know that Jesus himself has riverfront property? I don't know if you know this or not. Mark, this might be what you need to talk about right here. See, I had no idea. I kind of forgot about that in our conversation. Psalm 46 says this, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. What a cool phrase. Streams that make glad the city of God. Do you ever like find yourself wanting to spend some time at the lake or next to a brook that's babbling? I don't mean your teenager babbling. I mean like a brook that's babbling, right? And you're like, just, it refreshes, it replenishes your soul in some crazy cool ways. I love this image that in the city of God, where the Most High dwells, there's a river that flows, and it makes glad the city. Fills them, I don't know, joyful always. Sounds like a scripture we talked about recently. Then the angel in Revelation showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, this means we're going to be able to tube in heaven, right? Sit on those tubes and just float down that crystal clear river of life. God has a river in eternity, the river that makes glad his city that flows. Well, Jeremiah chapter 17 is where I want to take us this morning, because in my thoughts and prayers this week, kind of preparing this, I thought we were going to go a lot of places. And then I kind of crash landed into Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. And as I did, I just found myself drawn back to this passage over and over again. And so we're going to take a little bit of time together and just talk about it, because I think God wants to replenish our soul and encourage us and remind us some important things. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says this, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots to the stream, by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." It's a really cool passage, cool promise that God gave to one of his prophets, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who wept over the condition of the people of Israel and their distance from God. And he reminds them and calls them back to trust and faith and confidence in the Lord. Now, as I read that, you might have noticed something really cool. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, you might have picked up on it right away. In fact, Jack, don't call me out on this just in case, okay? But there's something cool here linguistically, stylistically going on. In the Hebrew style of writing, there's this cool thing called parallelism. And I don't mean like I repeat myself and I can't remember what's going on, and so I say the same thing again. It's a really cool way of communicating that the Hebrew writers used to present truth. And let's take a look, because I think you're going to see it here. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And the next statement essentially is, blessed is the one whose confidence is in him. Trusting in the Lord, placing your confidence in the Lord, that's a parallel concept, a parallel truth that's presented in Scripture in this form of writing. The next phrase, they will be like a tree planted by the water. What's a tree planted by the water? Well, it's a tree that sets its roots out by the stream, right? Another parallel picture of this image. And if we take these next two phrases, that little semicolon means it's kind of part of this same sentence here. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear truth. This first section, doesn't fear, has no worries. That's a parallel picture, right? It's always green. It always bears fruit. More parallelism. So in the Hebrew writing, this is a style of writing that the Hebrew authors used often to record or to make a statement or present something. But it's not just fancy linguistic or stylistic grammatical skill Englishy word insert here stuff, right? Like, this is a style of writing, but don't diminish it to a style of writing. People are fond of doing that. If we can kind of make something, break it down into its molecular sense, we can kind of distance it from us. Here's what's beautiful about parallelism in the Hebrew style of writing. What it does is it reinforces, it restates, it repeats a truth. And that's important, not because it's a fancy way to do it, but because you and I both know when your mom repeated herself, it was important, right? When your dad was like, "Hey, don't make me repeat myself," you knew that whatever it was that you didn't listen to the first time would have been really good to listen to, right? And it's almost like in this style of writing, it's designed for me. Because I'm reading and I'm like, I don't know what he said. Oh, he said it again. Okay, now I got it, right? I'm not saying this is the ADHD section of Scripture, but it could help those of us who see a squirrel and get distracted, that it's reinforced, repeated, restated, so we don't miss what God is trying to say to us. I love this style of writing. I think it's awesome. So let's go back and take a look at this kind of in its entirety and unpack what's here. Because if it's important enough to repeat it, we should probably try to see what's really being said here, right? Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. What are we talking about? Well, blessed is the one who places their hope, right, in the Lord. And this statement begs a question, right? Kind of begs this question. Who do you trust in? And I think sometimes as Christians, we do this really flippant thing. We're like, oh, I trust in the Lord. Where's your hope? Where's your trust? Oh, sorry, in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And we say that. But here's the crazy thing about this question. This question is a measurable question. You know what that means? It means you can say whatever you want, but there is a body of evidence that will prove whether your verbal answer is true or it's lip service or trying to look like something you're not. If your trust is in the Lord, then your actions will prove that out. If your trust is in your job, if your trust is in another human relationship, if your trust is in adventure or experiences or the stock market or somewhere else outside of God, it's easy to measure where you are placing your trust. And I think Jeremiah presents something really powerful to us by kind of throwing in our face, hey, who do you trust in? Where, what are you confident in? Confident in the government? That's changing a lot, huh? You confident in your paycheck? Are you confident in your own ability to just get things done? Are you confident in karma that's all going to work out, whatever goes around, comes around dynamics? You confident, whatever happens will happen, it's all good. What are you confident in? Where does your confidence lie? Where does your trust lie? Because Jeremiah says, the person whose trust, whose confidence, whose hope is anchored to Jesus is like a tree planted by the water, is like a tree whose roots go out next to the stream, right? And we've seen that image of a powerful, strong tree anchored and rooted deep next to the river where the water just continues to flow. We know that, man, there is fertility there and there is life in that river, that these roots of these trees can anchor deep and stay sustained, right? Where that water flows, there is life. There's life. And Jeremiah says to us that those whose confidence is in the Lord, those whose trust is in the Lord, those whose hope is in the Lord, well, they're a tree, and they are anchored next to the river, the living water of Jesus. I love this little phrase, sends out. Such a cool picture. I'm a picture guy, right? Like, I see this tree, and it's not just sitting there. You guys know, right, that like 60%, two-thirds of a tree is underground. It's always so fun to think about when you drive along and you see these huge trees and you remember that the root system that exists underneath that tree is almost twice as big as what's there. I mean, it's huge and it's expansive. And those root systems, they reach, right? This idea of sending out its roots, it's reaching, it's digging, it's anchoring deep. And that's the picture for those whose hope and whose trust is in the Lord. The man, it is anchored deep and then it is stretched out as far as it can reach. And it's this image of reaching for the Lord and reaching for the eternal life-giving water that is Jesus and holding tightly to that no matter what comes and being anchored. That's that picture of that tree in that space. That, man, what a picture for us. What a challenge for us. And to think, where are we anchored to? What are we reaching for and grabbing a hold of? What situation, what economic element, what relational piece are we like, man, if I could just reach and grab a hold of that, my hope, my confidence, my life would be good. Oh, the goodness of God, no matter what. Always faithful, always good. He's what we're supposed to reach for. He's who we're supposed to reach for. you know, we got a lot of people in the whole new marriage engagement, man, I hope I'm going to get married someday stage in our church family. And one of the things we run into in marriage early on is we recognize that when our hope and our joy and everything is rooted in the other person, we find out we're marrying human people who are flawed and imperfect. And how in the world you make it 57 years is beyond me. Jamie, don't shake your head. You're going to stick it out. Don't give up. Okay. But the reality is, man, marriage is hard. And if our hope and our deep well of joy and peace and patience and strength is that other person, they're not strong enough to sustain you. They can't hold you. You've got to be anchored to the stream and the river of life of Jesus so that you can stand together with somebody else, not so that your tree leans on them and shoves them into the dirt, right? What a cool picture anchored here. And this phrase, it does not fear. It is not worried. Man, what foreign statements in our life, right? It does not fear when heat comes. It has no worries in a year of drought. What are these statements here? When the heat comes, in a year of drought, and what they are is just the circumstances of our life. Jeremiah points out the stuff a tree faces. It's hot, steamy, brutal, or arid and dry, the heat sucking the moisture and the hope and the life out of this tree, wanting it to just become kindling and burn up in the desperate heat. The drought, absence of water, and it's shriveling and dying, turning to dust. It's the picture, right, of heat, of drought. And I don't know what circumstances you're facing. Sometimes we're excited to get out of our circumstances and to claim hope and ideas and blessings and chase and run when Jesus wants us to stand in the midst. These trees aren't running. These trees are standing in the heat, and they're not afraid. And they're standing in the dryness of the world around them, and they don't worry. Because the promise is that they're going to be sustained because they're anchored to the truth. There's vitality and health, and I don't mean like physical health because we're all going to die and these bodies fall apart. And Jesus told us there's going to be suffering and hardship and difficulty in this life. And if we run away every time that happens, we're not even following the stuff Jesus told us to do. But there is eternal health. There is eternal vitality. There's a reservoir of that living water that lives in us that we can stand no matter the heat of our circumstances, no matter the dryness of what's around us. And we never fail to bear fruit, green fruit. This is a picture of produce and to produce and to impact. The tree by the water, no matter what's going on in the world around it, is green and it's healthy, healthy spiritually, and it produces fruit. We know that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit on display in the life of the believer. And no matter what the circumstances of our life, and no matter what climate the culture's in around us, no matter what decay, what struggle, no matter what's going on, even in the intimate relationships and the people around us, you can stand rooted and anchored deep next to the living water that sustains our soul. That's the promise that God has for us in this passage. Doesn't matter where you're at in your life. Doesn't matter what stage you're in. You might be a little sapling anchored by the sea or over by the river. You might be an old tree, but old trees can just stand and be leafy green and bear some fruit too. And one day, maybe it all burns up. I think that's in the scriptures too somewhere. But until that day, we are called to stand anchored deep to the goodness of our God, providing shade and comfort for those around us, producing fruit that sustains the people and encourages the people around us. And we can, no matter the circumstances of our life. Don't let the devil get you so focused on all the circumstances around you that you forget to be building an awesome root system in him and digging deep into him and holding tightly to him. So I challenge you, as this passage does for me, that those who are in the Lord, who are trusting him, the one whose confidence is anchored there, man, it's like a tree and it's not afraid. And if you find yourself afraid, and if you find yourself shriveling in life, it's a pretty good chance you need a little transplant. Get to the river. Get anchored deep in him, because there is a place that sustains and brings life, and it's there for anybody. And where's it encourage one another too? Maybe you're standing next to that river and you know some people who aren't. Stretch those branches out a little bit and bring some encouragement into their world, that it might direct them back towards a place where there's life and there's hope. Well, the band's going to come and we're going to close as we pray. God loves you. I love that theme this morning of his incredible goodness and his incredible love that chases after us. You're invited. The God whose river makes glad his city is the same God who wants to make glad the city of your life with his living water. And he offers us the opportunity to anchor deep into him. I encourage you to reach out, to send out your roots to him and find the source of life that sustains. Father, thank you for your incredible word. Thank you for the pictures that you show us that help simple guys like me to be able to see what it means to be anchored and rooted deep into you. Thank you for bringing life, and thank you for offering that life to all of us. And Father, I pray for those this morning who aren't anywhere near the river of living water. I pray, Lord, that they would reach for you and that they would find that you're already building a tributary right to where they're at, and they can grab a hold if they'll just reach. And Lord, for those who've stood by the river for a long time and have grown weary, I pray that you would encourage them, that no matter the circumstance, no matter the temperature around them, your goodness has not changed, your faithfulness has not changed, nor has your call to bear fruit and to bring light and hope to the world around us. May we be encouraged to dig deep into you and to hold fast. Thank you for the promise that you provide and you protect. You bring health and hope and life. Lord, help us to hold on to you, to grow strong, and to become a mighty forest that brings life to the world around us. Thank you for your goodness. In the name of Jesus.